case you missed out on all the fun on the show, you can catch up on the Josh and Maddie podcast right now.
Hey, I'm definitely sure our boss listens to this podcast. I don't know why you're... let me just turn your mic on first. Our boss definitely listens to the podcast. And Barry, thank you for listening.
Thanks, Barry.
That was very loud.
Thanks, Barry.
Do you ever see those US game shows where they get really close to the microphone? And it's like,
yeah.
It's like Jeopardy or something where it's like, what is the state of California? And it's like, you don't have to be that close into the microphone.
Yeah. Anyways, welcome to the podcast for this week, the weekly wrap-up. We are now back in lockdown, which none of us like necessarily, until about yesterday midday, none of us saw coming.
Oh, I did. But I'm psychic, so... Nah, you're right.
Lockdown, baby.
How exciting. Back, lockdown number 6. It's got a different vibe, this one. It's a bit of a tang. It's spicy.
Yeah, it is.
I was trying to think, like...
It's spicy.
The last one, everyone was doing mumbo number 5, like memes and stuff. Like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5,
yeah,
we're
in
lockdown.
Yeah, what can we do?
Oh, no, I've seen people doing Michael Jordan 6 rings with Dan Andrews.
Oh, really?
Like the 6 championship rings. It's like,
Dan Andrews was like, 6 lockdowns, baby.
Yeah, which I like. I think that's great.
I do like that. I'm trying to think of a song that has the word 6 in it. Like, if we get to 7, like, we've got Ariana Grande's, like...
7 rings.
Or, like, Miley Cyrus, the 7 things I hate about you, lockdown.
Yeah, I think that's
lockdown.
I think that's why people are struggling with 6, Maddie, because there's really no songs.
Let me Google it. I got my computer in front of me.
Like, yeah. I'm trying to think of songs. Oh, I got a song. I got a song that it's got 6 in it. Ready?
I'm just waiting.
Love that song.
Hang on, I found
6. I don't know if there's any songs that have 6 in it.
6 white boomers, so white boomers.
It doesn't have the same feel.
6 white lockdowns. 6 white lockdowns.
No,
you can't do that.
No.
Okay.
That's like all the other songs. I don't know. Oh, there's the script, The 6 Degrees of Separation.
I was going to say, I feel like there's a song called 6 Degrees of Separation.
Weird Al Yankovic has a song 6 words long.
I think we can agree that there is just no 6. No. 6 sucks.
Or there's a song called I Got the 6 by ZZ Top.
I Got the 6.
It's described as the Southern Fried Boogie Blues. Should I play it? Hang on. Let's see.
Southern Fried Boogie Blues. That's really Southern Fried.
Southern Fried Boogie Blues.
Why don't we play that on Power FM?
Yeah, we should put in a request. Barry.
Barry, who's definitely listening.
We know you're listening, Barry.
Or there's
please
a song
place
by
that song.
Split Enz from 1982 called 6 Months in a Leaky Boat.
Mm. What about 6 you know what lockdowns in a leaky political system?
Yeah. Oh, spicy. You know what the worst part is, though? Is, like, we're now 6 lockdowns in. What do we do? What do we... Like, there's no more shows to binge watch.
Yeah, I've finished Netflix.
I've literally finished Netflix.
Or, like, the phases of baking, like, banana bread and everything. They're gone because you've already done it.
Yeah.
Oh, let's play a fun game. Actually, let's play a fun game. I made it up on the walk to work today. Okay, so the game, I don't know how long we've got, but whatever.
We're up to about 3.5 minutes.
Okay, so the game is, which lockdown was this? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I'm going to give you a thing and you've got to tell me which lockdown it was.
Is this something we could play on air?
Yeah, probably.
Okay, all right, well, if you're listening to this, you're hearing something that we may preview.
Yeah, but I've got to be the host because it's my game.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, woo! All right, watching Tiger King.
That was one.
Lockdown one, yeah.
Lockdown one,
yeah.
Okay.
Crying because you can't see your family.
All of them.
All of them?
No, more lockdown 2.
3. I was 3.
3? That was 5 days. All right. Crying. No, not crying.
Crying again.
I'm saying those bloody removalists.
That was...
5?
5. Yep, that
last
was lockdown
one.
5.
That was last
one. Working out how to use Zoom.
2?
1. The first one was when Zoom came up.
Really?
Yeah, 1.
I thought 1 was just like, oh, how do we do meetings now? And then 2 was like, you know, there's a thing called Zoom.
No, we were on Zoom by then.
Wow,
do you reckon if you could go back in time, like obviously we've talked that you can't, if you go back in time, you can't like get away to patient zero. You can't kill them and make COVID not happen because it's just going to make someone else get it. Yeah. But would you go back and like invest stocks in Zoom or like what would you do? Like if you could go back in time
Amazon.
To January last year, You know that COVID is a thing. You know how it's going to pan out.
Yeah.
You can't tell anyone about it. You can't. You can't warn anybody. What would you do?
I mean, any streaming platform. But then to invest in that's a lot. Probably Zoom is the obvious one.
Yeah.
Zoom's the obvious
or
one.
Or Amazon. Amazon was already.
Or hand sanitizer. Invest in the stock for that. Jeez. You would.
Yeah.
Or face masks. Or plastic sheets.
Actually, just plastic. Or toilet paper. Imagine January 2020 opening up a toilet paper store and everyone's like, what is that dude doing?
Yeah, and you're like, you just wait.
And March comes and you're sold out. You're literally sold out.
But you only made that amount of toilet paper. You didn't make any more.
So would you,
I sold out.
Going back to January 2020, knowing what you know now, would you have moved somewhere else to avoid lockdowns? Like, would you have moved to Northern Territory or Tasmania or
probably
something?
Probably go to Perth.
No,
Perth's locked down quite a bit.
They've done a few.
They've done like two.
Oh, yeah.
They've done like two lockdowns. And they weren't even that long.
Canberra's had a very good run.
They're just stuck at the moment.
Suspiciously good.
I might go New Zealand. New Zealand seems like a good place.
Oh, yeah, and you just end up.
I'd probably go home, actually, because my parents have had a pretty good run in Coffs Harbour.
But they're back in New South Wales.
Well, now, yeah.
Yeah.
They're screwed. But the whole time.
Right up until right now, they're loving it.
They have not had a case in Coffs because it's been like Sydney's the enclosed area and the rest of New South Wales is fine. But now it's spreading.
Yeah. Yeah, they were doing well.
Were doing well.
Did you see the Tudor Advocate article with Dan Andrews being like, just put an effing ring around your effing city. It's not that effing hard.
I don't understand. Like, just like the Bunnings being open there. What?
Gladys is just, she's just a being that I don't understand.
I just like how for our lockdowns, it's no retail open. If you want it, you got to click and collect. And over there, it's like, you can't browse, guys. Yeah. Just don't browse.
Don't browse.
A list.
Exactly.
Then we're like,
how are you going to enforce that? How are you going to force a list?
I imagine the poor person that's standing at the front of Kmart that's like 14 years old asking people to check in and be like, do you have a list?
Yeah.
Or someone with a super embarrassing list like going into Woolies and they're like, can I check your list? And it's just like condoms and like all of these really awkward things.
Say, like, please, just let me in.
What? Like, you got any chain here? Come on, take me to your chain section.
Oh, dear. All right, we're going to get out of here. On the podcast this week, all the good stuff from the week that was that I can't remember. I actually can't remember any of this week now, to be
honest. You can just listen to the podcast. We've been going for 7 minutes. I think people get the gist of what the podcast is all about.
This has
been a lot of nothing.
This has been a lot of crazy stuff. We've covered all bases. Oh. If you're not entertained by this podcast intro, Barry, then what are you here for?
Barry,
if you're actually listening, please know that...
You're great. We love you. We actually do.
We do actually talk about stuff. Josh, we talk about getting bogged. We talk about hourly checkouts.
Yes.
Shelley Craft we had on the show.
We had Shelley Craft on the show, yeah.
Swooping Season, lots of stuff is in the podcast. So enjoy. Hopefully it helps you get through lockdown.
Enjoy. Just have it on in the kitchen.
No reason not to listen to this podcast.
You really don't.
What else are you doing?
Yeah.
I mean, Lockie, you need to start promoting this podcast more for us. Let's be honest.
Okay. Well,
that's your deal.
Now it's an intervention. We'll get,
an intervention.
I'll get ready for another 15 minutes.
Lockie, this is your intervention.
Yeah. It's all me.
All right.
Yeah. Okay, good chat, guys.
All right, see you later, everyone. Enjoy your day. Have a good day. Bye-bye.
Enjoy the podcast.
Aldi checkouts can be a bit of a stressful time.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, you've really got to plan out your attack. You know, it starts at, I think, just going around the store and what order you put things in your trolley.
Oh, yeah, because that's the order you bag them.
Well, that's the order you have to put on the conveyor belt, and then that's the order that you have to bag them. And then it's always the kind of tricky situation if you've only got like a couple of items, if you try to bag them at the checkout or whether you go to the like benches and stuff. With COVID, they're encouraging more people to go to the benches so they're not just standing next to the checkout operators for quite some time. But when it comes to like your Aldi shops, what's your tactic at the checkout? Like, what do you do?
What I do is if I've got a trolley, I have my bags kind of tied to the side of the trolley, open, right? If you can envision that, the bags are open, just sitting there in the trolley, and we just put stuff in the open bags as quickly as possible.
Oh, okay. So I'm a person that just puts it all back in the trolley, goes to the benches and then packs the bags.
See, I'm not a bench. I'm not a bencher. Well, most of the time we're not getting a lot from Aldi. Like, we rarely do a full shop at Aldi, so...
Yeah. Oh, yeah. If it's only, like, a couple of things, just chuck them straight in the bag.
Yeah.
Well, this woman's tactic has divided the internet. So what she does is, like, it's her way of slowing the checkout down so that then she can pack at the checkout. And people are really up in arms on whether this is a smart, genius move or whether she's just selfish.
Okay.
Basically, what she does is on the conveyor belt, she puts each individual item about 30 centimetres apart. So it goes like the pasta, one pasta packet, 30 centimetres, pasta sauce, 30 centimetres, toiletries, 30 centimetres, and does that for her whole entire shop.
Yeah, nah.
Which is quite a lot of items. But then because she spaced them out, then the checkout person has to wait 30 centimetres before scanning between each item, which gives her time then to pick them up off the checkout and bag them appropriately.
Yeah. Are Aldi checkout people told to scan as fast as they can?
I'm not sure. I think that's just like the gist of what you want to do. And, you know, I've heard of people saying before, you can just ask them, hey, do you mind slowing down? And they will. They're nice people a lot of the time.
Yeah.
But all of us just go in there ready for a full-on attack.
Yeah.
But, yeah, this person spaces them out. So some people have said this is really selfish and annoying. Imagine being behind this person at the checkout and watching her just put out one item. Two item, three item, when the rest of us are just heaving it onto the conveyor belt and hoping for the best. But then some other people have said, well, this is smart because, you know, it slows down the, it slows down the, like, the checkout process.
Exactly. It slows down the whole process.
But then it's faster for her in the long run because then she's not waiting to then pack after the whole checkout. She can just then leave the store.
Mm.
What do you think? Do you think it's selfish or do you think it's smart?
I think it's in the same vein of taking up two car spaces. I think it's that type of just arrogance. Very smart, don't get me wrong, but super annoying.
Oh, yeah. Very, very annoying. I think it actually like just ruins the fun of the Aldi checkout because there is a pretty good feeling when you nail getting the stuff into the bags, like when you don't need the benches and you've just nailed it and you're like, oh, look at this, and you walk out into the car park like an absolute champion. You go get a dollar out of your trolley because you've won and it's great. You get a gold coin.
You get paid.
Josh and Maddie, Power Ballarat.
I said this morning that we did a lot over the weekend. Yesterday was a very eventful day. Eden and I went out to her brother's new block of land out at Lexton. Just a vacant block. We wanted to go out and see it. They've been talking about it a lot. They go out and mow it every couple of weeks. You know, they're trying to maintain it before they build on it. Wanted to go out and have a look. And we were expecting to do like the, you know, the walk around. Like, okay, so the lounge room will be here and we'll walk into the kitchen and do all that, you know, imaginative stuff.
When people say they're going to do a walkthrough of a block of land, I just picture in Grey's Anatomy where they set it out in candles.
That would have been amazing.
Have you not seen that? I'll show you to it and then you'll understand. Anyone who's watched that Grey's Anatomy's episode knows what I'm talking about right now.
That would have been amazing, but we didn't end up doing the walkthrough because when we rocked up to the block of land, Eden's brother was in the car in front of us, a big ute, you know, with a trailer on the back. They wanted to do some work while they were there. And as we got to the front gate of the block of land, Alex, who's Eden's brother, said, oh, go round to the left because it's like it's not as wet and you can just follow the fence line down and we'll meet you down the other end of the block. I was like, okay, great. We went to the right. They went to the left. And as they were going down, we were kind of paralleling each other down the block on each side. About halfway down the block, we realised that Alex had stopped driving for some reason. I'm like, oh, why has he stopped halfway? We stopped as well. And we looked to our left and there... all four wheels were just spinning. With no movement.
That's not a good sign.
And you could hear the car going, and just digging and digging and digging, and the car had sunk deeper and deeper and deeper. And Eden and I laughed, obviously, because that's what you do in that situation.
Because it's not you.
Because it's not us. And I said, well, what can I do? I need to do something. And we, but everyone said, we got them on the phone because we were over the other side of the paddock. And they said, no, don't, you've got to, no offence, but your car's not going to do anything. And I was like, yeah, fair enough. My dadmobile's not really in the towing business. And half an hour passed or so, Alex is like, we're not going to get this out. We're not going to get this out on my own. We need to call in reinforcements. Luckily, Eden's sister-in-law, who's Alex's fiancée, her grandparents live just up the road.
Oh, okay. So convenient.
Convenient. They saw that Alex was bogged and her grandfather brought down this little kind of crappy old panel van And as soon as I saw the panel van, I went, that's not going to happen.
That's going to get bogged as well.
And it did. It got bogged.
Of course. Called it.
It got bogged. So we went, all right, what's next? What's next? We call the neighbour up the road. They bring up their Toyota. Thankfully, they bring their nice Toyota Patrol. They pull the panel van out. 20 minutes later, the Toyota gets bogged.
Wouldn't you just stop putting cars in the mud at this point? I know I'm not a rocket scientist. But
I was having an absolute ball. I mean, it was horrible. It was so frustrating. But I was watching because I couldn't, like, I don't know what to do. I never lived on a farm. I don't go off-roading. I don't know what to do in those situations. So I was having a ball just watching this, right? And I probably shouldn't have, but I was having the time of my life. We had to get another person to come with their Toyota. Great advertisement for Toyota, by the way. Because
no, it's not. They're all getting bogged.
No, but they're all getting pulled out as well. So we had another person with Toyota come and pull the other Toyota out. This other person, this is about, we arrived at the block at maybe 4 o'clock. This is at 6:30. They finally, after revving, pull Alex's car out of the mud. It was 3/4 of the wheel was underneath the ground.
Oh, God.
And we all rejoice. We all go back to the house, have a few beers. And I don't know why I was celebrating because I did absolutely nothing.
You supervised.
I supervised.
You were there. You were part of the story.
And you know what? Alex, congratulations. You got your car out. Now I'm talking about it on radio. And everyone, you know what they said to me? This is going to make, they said to me, this is going to make great content for you tomorrow.
I'll you should have filmed it.
You're damn right it does.
Josh and Maddie, 103.1 Power FM.
We all spend a lot of time at work, you know. We probably spend more time at our jobs than at home a lot of the time for people.
Yep.
And with that, you start doing some, you know, more homely things, you know.
Yeah, it's like you get second, comfortable in the space.
You make it your second home. And you definitely did that the other day because I noticed you cooked sausage rolls in the air fryer here.
Yes.
And not just like heated them up, like full on cooked them from scratch sausage rolls.
They were, yes, it was raw meat and raw pastry wrapped together. Aldi, $6 for 4. Go ahead, check them out. They're actually really nice. I did make one mistake though, putting them in the air fryer. Didn't put any baking paper down.
Do we even have baking paper here?
I have no idea, but I'm going to bring some in.
Okay, fair enough. But it got me thinking, though. It's kind of a bizarre thing to think about.
It's a lot of effort for a lunch. Like, you expect it to be ready, you know?
And so it got me thinking about what I had cooked at work. And I was like, you know, I'm usually just, the go-to is heating something up in a microwave, and that's about it. I did at one point, we slow-cooked a pork shoulder for 38 hours, but that's a different story for another day.
At your last workplace?
Yeah, it stunk out the whole office.
Right, okay.
But we put a post up on our Facebook page yesterday, and some people seem to agree that cooking at work is the norm.
Yeah.
And went even more extravagant than you. A couple of people, including Perry and Daniel, said that they are fans of cooking steaks on the sandwich press.
I did see that. And the one thing about a work kitchen is that they don't have all the utilities that a home kitchen would have. So you gotta make do.
No ovens.
You gotta make do with what you have.
Yeah. Some places do have ovens though. I used to work at a Woolies bakery, and the amount of time the managers would go to the meat department, grab a roast, and then come and cook it in our ovens happened quite a lot, which seems to happen at a couple of other places. But there's some interesting suggestions of what people have cooked.
Harley, I think she used to work with a friend of hers. She's tagged a friend of hers that used to work at Baker's Delight, I think, and they would cook hash browns in one of the ovens.
That's good. One guy said that he cooked hot dogs in the kettle at work. I've never thought of that. But, Reese, that is a very smart idea.
And you can have a cup of coffee afterwards.
We have a clear kettle as well here at work, so that would just look
just
very
like
fun.
Some sausages bubbling.
Yeah, but I thought we could open this up even more. 533-1031, what did you cook at work?
Yes.
You know, we don't want the, it could be the worst. It could be the person that cooked tuna in the microwave. Or it could be a very extravagant meal that you cooked at work.
You walk in and someone's like breaking off, crackling off a pork or something. 533-1031, what did you cook at work? Give us a call.
Tobias from Cardigan Village, what did you cook at work?
An omelette.
Oh,
omelette.
In the microwave, on the sandwich press? What are we talking here?
Yeah, no, you can do it in the sandwich press. So we've got one, and I was doing an early shift at work, so just brought all the gear, and if you're careful enough, you can make it in the sandwich press. Bit of salsa down the side and a little bit of sour cream, and tell you what, had a few eyes on it.
Wow.
I'm trying to think, because sandwich presses, they're not like deep. When you cook an omelette, you do it in a pan so that you've got like the room to, you know, actually fill it up with the egg.
With stuff.
Whereas a sandwich press is very flat.
Nah, you got to be a bit of a pro like me.
Oh, okay.
All right, fair
enough. Pro omelette maker in a sandwich press.
All right, so look out for Tobias's TikTok video on how to do this later on today, I think.
Yeah, that's a good idea, actually.
I think we'll be having to follow, you can follow us on TikTok, actually, yes. Parafan Ballarat on TikTok.
I'm intrigued by this, but we do have a Facebook post up as well if you want to go check that out and let us know. Arena did, she said she used to cook lunch every day for the guys at work. They had an oven, though, which changes the game when you have an oven.
Yeah.
They used to have roast Fridays.
Yeah, wow.
That's a good idea. We have, like, fun food Fridays.
Fun lunch Fridays.
Fun lunch Fridays. You know, roast Fridays.
Yeah, we might have to. Maybe we'll do that halfway through the week. Roast Wednesdays.
Maybe we have to learn how to say Wednesdays first to earn the roast.
Yeah, maybe.
Josh and Maddie, Power FM.
Birth of my daughter. That story is a little boring. You know, I'm sure. Obviously, it's the best day of my life, but it was a little bit kind of stereotypically that way. I came into the room. I had to. Eden was in sunshine, so I had to rush into Melbourne, and I got there about 20 minutes before Esther arrived.
I like how you think, because she came preemie, and it'd been a whole whirlwind, and you're like, it was boring.
The actual birth was kind of textbook. I hesitate to say the word easy, but it was.
She was a very little baby to get
out. Little baby, you know, it happened very quickly and very smoothly.
Which but for a lot of people, their first birth is like
is tough.
30 hours tough. And 5 hours of pushing. And Yeah.
Well, Esther's at the age, like kind of at the size now, or she's a little bigger than what she would have been when, like if she went full term.
That's
and,
so crazy.
And
to
Esther's
think about.
Like, so Eden's like, I could not have pushed that out. I'm like, yeah, fair enough. Anyway, I feel like a lot of men, you know, they take their moment they take the time to make that moment a special one. They want to make it memorable. And one father has done just this. A couple have announced the birth of their second baby on social media with a very unique photo. Brody Price and his wife welcomed daughter Hadley in a Kalgoorlie. And he's posted a photo of his wife. I'm not sure if this is staged or whether she's actually mid-labour in pain. She's pushing, you know, legs up, and she's pushing. And Brody, the husband, is in all cricket gear with mitts and a hat, ready to catch the baby.
So he put on his wicket-keeper outfit.
Full wicket-keeper outfit. Full wicket-keeper outfit.
That's a bit different.
Super different. There's another photo as well of him actually holding the newborn. So I'm assuming, I reckon he was there for the birth in his full outfit.
Well, you hear all these stories of people like wearing suits to go meet babies for the first time because they're like, first impressions count. And obviously he just thought this was the perfect moment to get out his cricket gear.
He looks like he's having the time of his life.
I'm just wondering how, like, obviously midwives and nurses and doctors see everything.
Yeah.
Like every story under the sun they have got. But I think this would throw them off a little bit. They probably weren't ready to walk in to see a guy in a wicketkeeper outfit ready to catch the baby.
All right, where's the baby? I'm like, Sarah, get out. It is a very, very interesting photo. He looks over the moon. He's holding the fresh baby in his batting gloves. It's just fantastic.
So here's the question, though. You said that you were a bit annoyed that the birth of yours, like you didn't do anything to stage it.
I couldn't have.
So either going back or if you have another one in time, what would you do? What outfit would you put on? Would you set a stage? Like what would happen?
I don't know. I'd have to think about it. I don't know. This is the thing. I'd want to make it memorable for me. The baby's not going to remember. But I don't know. Maybe I've seen photos of like dads who are like just eating pizza while their wife's giving birth, and there's like photos from their
maybe
point
don't
of view.
Do that one.
I don't know. I'd have to think about it and get back to you. But I'm definitely going to make the next birth, for me anyway, a little more memorable.
Well, I know for mine, I just want to recreate the Lion King scene, so.
Yeah, fair enough. I went into OPSM yesterday, Maddie, to get some. We're both glasses wearers.
We are indeed.
I've got to get some because one of my arms has fallen off.
I noticed that yesterday, but I didn't want to point it out because I'm sure you're already aware of it.
I'm definitely already aware. Part of the reason I'm wearing a beanie right now is the beanie is keeping them on my face.
Do you not have a spare pair?
No.
Oh, see, no. I didn't have a spare pair for a very long time.
No, this is my one and only.
I have two spare pairs, one in my... It's kind of like how you carry a mask around everywhere now.
Oh,
you've
got a mask everywhere.
I have a pair of glasses everywhere because if I forget them, whew, it's not a fun day.
Yeah, well, I've only got one arm on my glasses at the moment, so they're struggling to stay on my face. And I did go to OPSM yesterday, booked in for an eye test just to update my prescription, whatever, and I'm starting the journey to get a new pair. I really need a new pair because yesterday I was at home and, you know, I was need to go to the bathroom. I thought, oh, I'll just go to the bathroom. Didn't have a beanie on but had my glasses on. Went to the bathroom, peed, stand up. You know, men, we stand up and pee. And I flushed, and for some reason men do this. I know men do this because I've had discussions with men about this. When you flush, you look down.
Yeah.
Just to say goodbye.
Girls do it as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, amazing. Well, I just said, hey, all right, flush, goodbye, look down. Glasses slipped off my face.
Oh, dear.
Fell into the bowl as flushing was commencing. And at that point, I didn't know what to do. I thought, do I just let them go? They're my only pair. Do I want to be foggy visioned for 2 weeks until I can get a new pair? No. So I...
Very bravely.
With accuracy and bravery, I plunged my hand into the toilet and I grabbed out my glasses. I spent the next 20 minutes profusely just cleaning my glasses. We have hand sanitizer at home. I don't know if that does anything. I was spraying it all over. I washed it, got baby wipes, washed the pee residue off my glasses. And I don't know whether it's appropriate for me to be wearing them right now.
Oh, look, I feel like you've probably gone to enough length to try and clean them at this point. It was only in number one, so...
Number one,
It shouldn't be too bad, but this just goes back to my point of if you're a glasses wearer, I highly recommend just having a spare pair just in case you drop them in the toilet like Josh.
Just in case, yeah. I don't know whether I should be wearing them today because all I keep thinking of is like, pee on my face.
Josh and Maddie, Power Ballarat.
Lockie, one of the Power FM team, joins us in the studio. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me back. It's been a while.
Well,
it's not that you haven't been here. You're just on the work day here. It's
oh, right.
Us.
Yeah, no, I'm busy.
Yeah.
I'm busy. I'm really tired. It's a tough schedule.
You had something happen to you yesterday, which a lot of people should go out and do.
Yes. It was a very exciting day yesterday.
Mm-hmm. You got your first... Was it AZ you got? First AZ?
No, I got Pfizer.
You got the Pfizer.
I got the good stuff.
You got the good stuff.
Well, they're both good stuff. Yeah, no, I got my vaccination yesterday, which was very exciting.
Yeah.
Now, people listening are probably wondering how you got Pfizer, because at the moment here in Victoria, it's people 40 and above, if AstraZeneca is 60 and above, unless you go to your GP. So how did this kind of all go about?
I've got a medical condition. slowly dying, as we all are. No, I've got one kidney. So
okay.
That's a story for another time. But got one kidney, which means I'm eligible for Pfizer. And so, yeah, on medical advice, I'm in an at-risk group, so went and got a vaccination yesterday.
It was busy, wasn't it?
It was so busy, but what really surprised me is I was just, like, when I called up to book the appointment, I mean, it was probably about a month ago, like, there is a bit of a wait, but I assumed that it would be such a hassle.
Mm.
Within a minute, I was off the phone, like, really quick and easy, which was surprising to me, and I'd been putting it off as well, and I don't know, look, I'm sure I'm not alone, but it was more, because I've been eligible, I think, since, like, February or March.
You were in, like, one of the first phases.
Yeah, so I've been eligible for a while, but there was a little bit of trepidation, just because, I mean, look, like, I have full confidence in it, but like everyone, there's a lot of...
It's a new thing.
It's a new thing, and there's a lot of people talking about it, and you can be a little bit, not worried, but you just kind of have
skeptical.
It's more just,
cautious about it.
Exactly, man. Yeah. So for me, I sort of was like, oh, will I, won't I? But you know what? Like, if you're a decent member of society, I think it's probably your obligation. So went and booked it in, went and got it. And Tracy was my nurse.
Mm-hmm.
So nice. Tracy made me feel so at home in my little vaccination booth.
Shout out to Tracy.
Shout out to Tracy. And I don't like needles, so I was really,
I was about
really
to ask
worried.
How, if you're a, because for people like me, I'm super fine with needles. I can deal with them, but I know for others it's a bit of a scarier kind of
blood
experience.
Blood tests, I just get like, I get like heart palpitations. I don't want it. Yeah, I just don't like it. I don't pass out. Mm. Not one of those people.
It's just not your favourite thing to do.
Yeah, it's just like a needle going in me isn't really a great, like, isn't the way I love to spend my Tuesday morning.
In terms of post needle, post jab, how do you feel? Any bruising, any pain, anything like that?
Well, for starters, the needle was like done.
Seamless.
Like,
seamless.
I didn't even feel it. I'm not even kidding. I was like, oh, and Trace's like, it's done. I'm like, Trace,
Tracy,
we're so on the same wavelength.
We're in sync.
And then it was fine, and I went and played netball last night. Probably was
against doctor's orders.
Well, no. Tracy said, "Don't go running a marathon." No, I only run a half marathon.
Now,
netball.
You were goal. Were you goal shooter?
Goal shooter,
you
weren't star player. again, story for another time. no, but when I played netball, I feel fine. Look, my arm's a little bit sore, but apparently Pfizer can knock around young people a little bit more.
Yeah.
Just because you don't have the antibodies. I'm not a medical professional, but this is what I've been told. So it was really good. Feel great, feel fine. And it was really cool to sit there and be like, I'm part of history right now.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
For the past 18 months, we've been stuck inside. We've been like, how can we get, like, I just want this to be over. And knowing that for me, getting that first shot, like, I was helping everyone get that one step closer. Mm. And we've all got a part to play. And if I can play my small part, very small part, in just getting a vaccination and sitting there and Tracy being nice to me while she puts a needle in my arm, I'm more than happy to do it.
Fantastic.
And yeah, and if that's not enough encouragement, you also get a lollipop.
I was going to say, did you get a little lollipop?
I got a lollipop.
What flavour did you get?
I got
flavor?
Watermelon. So good.
So you were on a watermelon sugar high afterwards?
Yes. Harry Styles.
Well, I'm glad you're feeling great afterwards, and you definitely recommend going and getting your...
100%. I mean, 100%. Go seek medical advice, obviously.
Definitely.
I'm not a medical professional, but go get it, because I was playing netball, and I played a great game last night, so...
A little something extra. International Beer Day is today, Maddie. Neither of us are beer drinkers.
No. For some people might argue that every day is International Beer Day if you ask them. That might be the case also up the road at Auntie Jack's here in Ballarat, and we have brewer Matt Ivers on the phone with us. Good morning.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for being on the show. Are you going to celebrate International Beer Day today?
Yeah, absolutely, guys. As you said, most days are a beer day in my world, but certainly today is a pretty special one.
So brewing is, it's a bit of a different career path. Like, I kind of know you. I don't really know anyone else who's in the brewing industry. How did you get started?
Look, brewing's just a hobby gone wrong or gone right, depending on your perspective. Back when I was studying at uni, the cost of beer didn't necessarily stack up against the income, so home brewing became the first logical step.
Yep.
And, since there, it's just developed into a career that I haven't been able to shake.
It does sound like lots of fun. So, obviously, there's different kinds of beers. Like, Auntie Jack's has, like, a ton of different ones. How do you guys come up with the different ideas behind the beers?
That's most of the fun, I guess, is the creative element in brewing. It's a bit like cooking in that you've got a bunch of raw materials that really you can only conceptualize how they're going to taste as a finished product. So with a few parameters and a few rules that you can typically apply to brewing, you basically throw it all in a pot and hope for the best. That's a little bit tongue-in-cheek. There's a little bit more science to it than that. But certainly there's flavors in beer that we can try and focus on, whether that's the malts or the hops that are used in brewing, navigate the beer styles and try and finagle something that's of quality just in crafting. Bit of a balance between malt, hops, fermentation, alcohol strength, all the different variables in beer.
Nice.
So you said that, like, you guys come up with the different ideas yourselves. Are there any that have gotten trial that didn't work? Are there any that, just didn't make it quite to the punch? What flavours are we talking here that could have been?
Oh, look, certainly going back to the, as I said, the bathtub days of home brewing, there was some failed attempts, but But luckily, here at Arnie Jack's, we've got the benefit of, I like to say, a combined 40 years in the brewing industry, which is five of my own and 35 years of Peter Aldridge
40 years.
brewing education. So far, we haven't had any of those missteps, but certainly we've explored some more interesting flavours in the beers that we've made here. Earlier in the year, we had a botanical beer using some local lemon balm herb, which provided a little bit of a freshness and a bit of life to otherwise a wheat-based beer. So there's certainly some fun things we can explore.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we're lucky so far that every one of them poured over the bar and enjoyed by the locals and the tourists alike.
Fantastic. Well, Arnie Jack's is on Main Road if you want to go and check it out. Matt Ives, thank you so much, and enjoy International Beer Day.
No worries, guys. Thank you very much. And just a quick one, just don't forget to support all the hospitality venues out around Ballarat and get amongst them while the doors are closed and then back again when they're open.
Definitely.
If you don't want to drink, just go get some beer-battered fish.
Yeah.
That'll do.
Perfect. There's your workaround right there.
Exactly. Awesome. Thanks, Matt.
Thanks very much, guys. Have a good one.
103.1 Power FM's Josh and Maddie.
Obviously, we're quite a little bit into the Olympics now, and there's been a lot of discussion around the commentary teams. Mm-hmm. Australia's gotten some really good people to do some commentating, like Ian Thorpe in the swimming and Liesl Jones were great. Also had Anna Mears in the cycling last night. Andrew Gaze, we just saw when the Opals won, they just stood up from their desk and were just watching the TV, just completely forgot about any other camera there.
Yeah.
But who, when I say Olympic commentary, who do you think of? Is there anyone that comes to mind?
Olympic commentary? No, not at all. I just think of Graham Norton doing the Eurovision commentary.
That's a little bit different to the Olympics. For me, I think of Roy and HG.
Right, like, okay.
They,
a bit of an old school throwback.
When I think of the 2000 Sydney Olympics, all I can remember is Roy and HG's commentary. If you haven't ever listened to it, here's a little sneak peek.
The corkscrew.
This is the gymnastics, by the way.
Then a batter the serve. It's the first crazy date we've seen with total elevation. 360 degree crazy date, HG. Close the door. Here he goes. Hello, boys.
Hello, boys. It's me.
A simple sidestep to reposition ourselves for the next pass.
So basically, they just give commentary to sports and just give up, especially gymnastics, they just gave names to everything and it was really fun. And it was like the pinnacle of the 2000 Olympics for me. Yeah. But it seems this year there is a new duo on the block. Okay. And I'm going to let you be the judge whether they're on par with Roy and HG or whether they're like, you know, a little bit less or a little bit better. Please welcome to the Olympic commentary team, Kevin Hart and Snoop Dogg.
I like this. This is equestrian.
By the way, look at that horse.
Did you? Oh, the horse crip walking, huh? You see that? On the set. That's gangsterism. Hey! Oh, look at this, girl.
Oh, come on, man.
This horse is off the chain. I got to get in the video, girl. Oh, my God.
Snoop said I got to put the horse in the video.
It was off the chain.
So they're watching equestrian and know absolutely nothing about it.
They're just commentating on the way the horse is
walking. And then Snoop Dogg's like, I could have put it in a video. But people are really excited about this because it's something different. You know, they're bringing you know, a little bit of comedy to it.
Yeah.
Obviously, they offered no technical information whatsoever.
Yeah.
But people are very happy about it. Everyone on social media is resharing the clip saying we're loving it. They're now calling for like American news networks to sign them on to officially commentate the sport.
Amazing.
What do you think? Roy and HG on par or a bit too different? Where do you sit on it?
I don't know. They're so different. Roy and HG is more of like the subtle, like, oh, look at him, you know, that type of stuff. And I feel like Kevin Hart and Snoop Dogg are more energetic.
They're just
and
saying
out there.
Whatever they think.
They're just saying whatever they're. And maybe, there could have been some substances that were smoked before that aired. So it may be a little bit different that way.
Keeps you on your toes.
Yeah.
So I think with this one, though, with a lot of people asking them to be like officially signed to some commentary, I don't know if that's actually going to happen because in that like 20-second clip, the amount of swear words I had to edit out just then was absolutely ridiculous.
It's crazy.
So I don't think a news network is going to be putting them in prime time, but any other time, I'm here for it.
Yeah.
Josh and Maddie, 103.1 Power FM.
We'll be right back.
In case you missed out on all the fun on the show, you can catch up on the Josh and Maddie podcast right now.
One of my favourite shows, growing up as a kid, watching it, mum and dad would love it. It's The Block.
Yes, and it is back this Sunday night with the Fans v Faves edition, which is something a little bit different.
Yeah.
Someone who knows all about The Block, because it's their 14th season, is Shelley Craft, and she joins us on the phone. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. Oh, Shelley, you're nice and sprightly for this early in the morning. Are you excited about the new season?
You know what? I really am. It feels like it's been a long time coming for this one. As you said, we're up to our 17th season.
Yeah, wow.
But there's still plenty of surprises for everyone, even if you've been a Block fan since the very beginning.
Yeah, definitely. So you've been with the Block for quite some time. Has there ever been a point that you thought about stepping back and doing something else?
No, actually. There's nothing else on telly that I'd rather be working on. So I'm going to hang in there until they've had enough of me, and then I guess I'll go and find something else to do.
I was going
to
say, I don't think the Block would be the same without you, Shelley, because you've been on it for as long as I can remember. I didn't even know there was 17 seasons. I thought there was 14 seasons and you'd been on the whole time.
Oh, there you go. You're far too kind.
Yeah.
You've got to get out more too, by the way.
Yeah, that's right. We're seeing a lot of other shows doing, like, celebrity editions. There's a Block. Could there be a Block celebrity version coming?
Oh, my God. Who on earth would you cast for that? No, look, I love my television family and friends. I don't think I would ever put them through this.
Okay, fair enough.
We need people who are desperate to sign up. You know, we still had thousands and thousands of entries this year from Aussies wanting to give it a crack. And we don't hide anything. And I wonder if these people have ever seen the show, because it really is the hardest thing to do ever, I believe.
Yeah. Well, definitely. And we've got some favourites coming back who've obviously somewhat enjoyed the experience because they are coming back. How did they get selected? Because obviously quite a few could have been good for the show. Everyone's got their favourites from over the years. So how did these particular ones get picked?
Yeah, that's right. Look, it is a fans versus faves. And our faves this year are Mitch and Mark and Ronnie and Georgia, who I know some of you will go, hang on a second, they weren't my faves. But they certainly made great television. There is no doubt that Mitch and Mark brought some serious game to our Oslo series. And for Ronnie and Georgia, I think this is a little bit more about redemption for them. I don't think they played the game the way they really wanted to. And I think they want to have some fun this time around. So I believe that's why they took our call and decided that they were ready to give it another shot. But we'll see how it all plays out and whether their, you know, their true motivations come through in the end. I'm not sure how this is going to work.
Now, you said that being on the Block is probably one of the hardest things ever to do. But you, I believe you renovated your home as a little COVID project.
Yeah, look, we did. Well, we built a whole house last year.
Oh, built a whole house.
During lockdown. Yeah, which was a bit of a cracker. I did. My last place before that was, we tried to do it in Block time. I think I managed to pump it out in about 12 weeks, not 9. So, you know, I've got a little bit of practice to go, but there weren't any cameras in my face either.
Did
so that
you?
Made it a heck of a lot easier.
Yeah, did you rope in Scotty Cam to do some of the touch-ups for you?
I wish I had. Yeah, I'm glad I didn't have Keith with his little box of red dots walking around the place marking defects. But other than that, we did all right.
Now, obviously, the season starts this Sunday and we're quite a way away from auction night, but I want you to call it now. Who do you think is going to win the season? What's your pick?
Oh, God. Oh, look.
We want the inside scoop.
That'd be like choosing between my favourite kids, wouldn't it? Well, you're just not allowed to have any. As you said, we started February, and the contestants moved out in about mid-May, and of course we'll go to auction at the end of the series. So I know real estate too well to pick a winner on this one. So much is going to change in the industry between now and then, and this is the ride of the Block. This is the wild ride right up until auction day.
Definitely. Yeah, awesome. Well, we've all seen housing prices absolutely skyrocket during COVID, so that might make an impact as well.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. No, I'd never pick a winner for this one. But you might have your own favourites by the end of the series.
Definitely.
Awesome.
Well, as we said, The Block Fans v Faves premieres this Sunday, 7 p.m. on Channel 9. Shelley, thank you so much for joining us.
Pleasure, guys, anytime. See ya.
Josh and Maddie, 103.1 Power FM.
There was a period of time in primary school when I was riding my bike to school. You know, mum was going in early because during primary school, I went to the same school as my mother. Didn't have any classes, anything like that with her, but I did have to go to the same school as my mother, but she would leave quite early. I was young and stubborn. I didn't want to go that early, so I would end up riding my bike to school. On the route to school, There was a few hot. There was a few. Sorry, the term, but hot spots for magpies.
Oh,
a few
yes.
Big trees where you're kind of looking around, and there were times where I would get swooped. Probably 70% of the journey to school.
Oh, that's horrible.
By different magpies. This is not the one magpie with a grudge. It was different magpies. And it got me thinking about when does magpie swooping season actually kind of start? Because I know it's during like around the springtime, because I remember during my birthday in November, there's magpies all over the place in Coffs Harbour. But magpie season... Magpie swooping season has actually begun a little early this year.
Well, I know that last year it was an interesting thing because it usually had to do with like the temperature, and because temperatures are going up and down and they're like getting warmer earlier and colder later.
Well,
that affects the breeding, which is why they swoop.
That's exactly right. And
look at me knowing science.
Look at that. Look at you go. That's exactly right. It may not feel like it down here in Ballarat, but it actually has been a warmer winter over Australia and across the nation, which has promoted magpies to begin their swooping season, having babies early, with cyclists and pedestrians being urged to take precautions to avoid the wrath of the swoopers.
This is what annoys me. And the reason that I know so much about magpie swooping season is, I think I've mentioned this slightly on the show before, I am petrified of birds.
Yes.
Like, cannot deal with them.
I hate magpies.
Any way, shape or form, can't deal with birds. Like, even pigeons give me the creeps.
Mm-hmm.
And so I, touch wood, have never been swooped by a magpie, which is very lucky because I think I would have a full-blown panic attack if it happened.
Yes.
And so... during spring, I am very cautious of where I walk, and I am that person who is on, like, the magpie swooping Facebook pages trying to see where ones are to make sure I avoid them.
Well, this is the thing. I would always have – a lot of people thought, what's your strategy going in against the magpies when you're riding to school? I always just did the zip tie. You know, mm-hmm. You would have the zip ties poking up out of the helmet. Some people said, oh, googly eyes, because the magpies are scared of you if you make eye contact with them.
I've heard that one a lot. There's a couple of different ideas that have been used, and I've seen a few different videos of people trying out these different tactics, and none of them have ever worked.
An older woman who used to walk past... We had a magpie in our street that would swoop, and an older woman who used to walk past our place every couple of days to go to the shops, she would carry an umbrella. Even if it was rainy, sunny, cloudy, whatever, she would just have an umbrella. And that's a smart way. Over the time that she bought the umbrella, though, there were rips starting to occur, to occur in the umbrella.
The only way that I have ever seen actually work to prevent swooping, this happened at my old workplace. We had a lovely guy that worked there who befriended the magpies throughout the year. So he would go out and feed them, and it was really cute, actually. And I would watch him do it because I'm not going out there near the magpies, but I would watch him and he would feed them bits of apples and he'd go and sit with them and he would sing to them. Like, he was really one with the magpies. And so when it came to breeding season, they didn't swoop us.
Mm.
And they lived in our car park as well. So they didn't swoop us, they didn't touch us, because he befriended them.
That's good. He's the kind of, he's the gateway between you and the magpies.
He's the magpie whisperer.
Exactly. I'm quite triggered by magpies. If I hear a sound during swooping season, I'm really triggered. But one thing I am worried about is with people who are also triggered by magpies, you may hear this promo on Power FM.
Power FM Brekkie with Josh and Maddie. 100% Ballarat.
I don't know if you noticed in there was a little...
There's a magpie.
There's a magpie.
The first time I heard that, I was like, why are we putting magpies with our shows? No.
There's going to be people, like, ducking in their cars, like, Question, have you ever, like, gotten re-interested in something from your childhood, whether it's a TV series or something you used to do, an activity, anything like that?
Oh, I'm trying to think. Like, I've definitely re-watched series from when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And, like, movies and stuff like that. Because when you watch them as an adult, it's very interesting.
It's bizarre. I saw a clip. I don't know. It wasn't a whole episode. I saw a whole clip of Phineas and Ferb.
Oh, love that show.
The other day, I was like,
there's 104 days of summer vacation.
And as soon as the theme song comes on, you know, it's just like riding a bike. You just get back into the flow of it. One thing I have been getting re-interested in from my childhood, I was a mad WWE fan.
You're one of those kids.
I was a absolute, and there's iconic sounds that you hear and you get little goosebumps, and this is one of them.
Oh, the chair slam.
Oh.
Who was your favourite?
My favourite was Jeff Hardy.
Okay, I don't know who that is.
This high flyer guy, he'd jump all over the ring and do these mad jumps, jumping off ladders, going through tables, all this amazing stuff. I was so crazy about it when it came to Australia. My dad and I road tripped up to Brisbane. This is 10 years ago. Road tripped up to Brisbane and we went and saw it live. I skipped school, which was amazing. It was on a Friday night. I left school early. We went up. It was just phenomenal. So much fun as a kid. And I would probably go back.
If it comes to Melbourne, are you going to go?
Absolutely, absolutely. But I was thinking about this. There's just so much. I don't want to get into the, we were talking about to Lockie the other day, and he was like, oh, you know it's fake, right? I was like, oh, don't get me started. Do not get me
people
started
still
on
get
whether
injured,
it's fake.
Though, even though it
oh, my
is
gosh.
Staged, people still get injured.
People, it's... I just don't. I don't want to get into it, Maddie, because I'll get too passionate. But I am definitely getting back into something that I was excited about as a teenager. So excited, in fact, that as a kid, I had a trampoline, and my dad would bring home particle board, which is just like compacted sawdust.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a ladder next to my trampoline, and I would throw myself through particle board.
I can't wait until your daughter grows up and asks you to do stuff like that.
I can't wait either.
Can I jump through board?
I'll be like, yes, darling, let's go to Bunnings. I'll join you. We'll get two slabs. It got me thinking, though, has anyone here in Ballarat, 5333 1031, have you got re-interested in something that you were big in as a child?
Could be a food or something.
Could be a food.
Could be like a TV show, a sport.
A TV show, a sport. Anything that you did as a child, then maybe you just lost interest or something, and then as an adult, 18 plus, got back into it and went, actually, this is kind of fun. Yeah.
It happens.
Exactly.
I 100% believe it happens.
Yeah. 5333 1031. Megan has got a story.
I do. I used to live in Melbourne and we used to go speed skating when I was a teenager.
Yeah.
About three times a week. And I've recently got back into roller skating, but as a roller derby.
Derby.
I've been to a few roller derby games.
Have
it's
you been part
cool.
of it? Have you done it?
No. Been scared.
Have you come up with your roller derby name, though, yes. just in case?
Not really. No, I'm a bit scared about it.
Megan the Destroyer. Let's do that.
I'm thinking something to do with Meghan Markle or something.
I'm older than her. I was there first.
Awesome. Thanks for that, Megan. Thanks for the call.
That's okay. No worries.
I kind of like Megan the Destroyer. Or Megan the Maker Markle.
I've got to workshop it.
We got to workshop.
We can get there. We do have a Facebook post, so if you want to let us know what you've gotten back into, Power FM Ballarat on Facebook, if you want to join the conversation.
103.1 Power FM's Josh and Maddie.